Dvar Halachin Chavis Aldodas, Tuesday night, or Liut Ches Kislev, Tov Shinayin Hay. So we continue with Hanukkah. So Ner Yishu Beso, really in the Gemara that statement is a pretty innocuous statement, because it's talking about, as the sugya develops, how many people should light, and one per house, and everybody in the house, and every night. But the Achronim take it to mean virtually all that you need a bias to be mekayim the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And let's say if you're traveling and you don't have a bias or anything that could halachically be called a bias, so even if it's possible for you to light the neros, I don't know, maybe a train compartment, you know, the first class on an airplane. I never went up there. Once I did to use the bathroom, but maybe you could light, okay, they're not going to let you light in there, obviously, but the point is you need a bias. That's what the Achorinim, virtually all Achorinim assume you need a bias. Again, even though in the Gemara, it's not really, that's not what Ner Yishu Beso means in the context of the Gemara, but as Sugya talks about where to put it, and the Inyan of Achsanoi, and all these things, so apparently, virtually Achorinim say you need a bias. Now the question is, what's a bias? And it gets very complicated if you're traveling on Hanukkah. Hanukkah is, anybody, it's like, I think it's heavier than Chol HaMoed with the parties and traveling and visiting. And, it really is a mess out there in terms of transportation. And it's really more complicated than Purim. Purim is, you know, with Prozim and Mukofim, but Hanukkah is, I think, more complicated. If there's Kashayla, what time are you coming home, what time are you leaving, where do you light, are people going to be home or not, you're going away, only your son's going away, your whole family is going away, when are you coming back? It's very complicated Shailas. Obviously the best thing is to be home Bisman Hadlaka, either come back from wherever you went before Bisman Hadlaka, or by Bisman Hadlaka, or leave after you've lit. That's also a little complicated. Sometimes you would have to, you should stay for a half hour after you've lit, and sometimes you mamish don't have to, even l'chatchila, again, depending on where you light. So, if there's kashayla, and these are very complicated shaylas. Okay, that's enough for tonight. Now we're learning Chavis Halavis, we're at the end of Perek Zayin of Shara Yichud. He has proofs about the unity of Hashem. So we're up to the seventh proof. Number seven is really, he's saying, Monofshach, if you have two, so either you needed to have two or you didn't need to have two. So if you needed to have two, then that's a Hagbalah in the Koach of Hashem. In the Koach, it's a Hagbalah, because he needed another one. And if you didn't need two, then somebody's superfluous, which is also illogical and not, and against the etzem meaning of Hashem. So, okay, that's number seven. Number eight is, really, it doesn't really put it down as number eight. It's really more of a repetition of the whole, of a theme, that the whole Bria works and it's an orderly fashion, and it's different things come together to make something work. And he says, you know, let's face it, if there would be more than one, they would always be arguing. What's the best way to do something? And there would be like different, it would be like a committee, you know. So, you know what they say, a camel is a horse that's put together by a committee. So, you need one person, you need one entity to do something. And then he brings out from Aristotle, very interesting, because he said in his Hakdama that he has no problem quoting Goyim when they are saying something MS. So he brings down from Aristotle, Ain tov birvos haroshim, no good can come out of when there's a multitude of people in charge, of, acharosh or echad. You need one rosh. So he quotes Aristotle, and then he quotes Shlomo Melech in Mishle, Mamish Abtela. He says, V'yomer Aristo b'sifro b'nyan ha'yichud, ain tov birvos haroshim, acharosh or echad. V'omar Shlomo, b'pesha eretz rabim sareha. If the Oretz is not Zoyche, then they'll have two heads. So, and you see the Bria works, and he's Myrich a little. Again, a scientist would know this much better than I do, how the Bria, you know, like for it to rain, like 18 forces have to work in unison, or else it's not going to rain, and the kach in every part of the Bria. And so it's only possible if one entity, one koach, one energy force is putting it together. This finishes the parak. Uvamesha hevenu binyan zeh dai lemevin umaspik betshuva. There's certainly enough here for anybody in his. There were the two. There was some sort of Persian fancy word there. I can't understand. I don't know how to say the word. And then ubal hashilosh hanotzrim. That's we all know who that is. But he calls them Baal Hashilosh. He calls the notes from Baal Hashilosh. Kiva Amidenu Ha'achdus Labori Ha'olam. That's a very important yisod. In chapter 8, Perek Shmini, he talks about the nature of what Echad means, how it has so many more layers of meaning than, you know, just one and not two, which he says is a very superficial meaning.